Ian is running late. Well, with his apologies.
Okay, can we get started?
Yeah. It is time 5:03. Call the work session to order. Mr. City Manager, anything you want to say before we start?
No, sir, Mr. Mayor. I can introduce the subject if you want.
Why don't you?
All right, currently, every year, we have an opportunity to give our bargaining units the opportunity to talk to the council and present their financial proposal for the upcoming fiscal year. I believe we have presentations from CPOA and from the fire union. I don't believe we have anything from laborers or the utility group. First up is Matt Nicholas with CPOA.
Detective, you object to Ian not being here?
I'm okay with that.
All right.
First and foremost, I'm Matt Nichols. I'm the president of the Columbia Police Officers Association. Thank you for, you know, the opportunity to meet all of you. It's absolutely wonderful to see all of us here again in person. I was talking to Kathy about that earlier. I think kind of that whole human element is, you know, we need to see each other's face to be able to talk and really understand. So thank you for the opportunity for us being here and being able to present for you guys. So with the Columbia Police Officers Association, I represent roughly 98% of the police officers in the department from sergeant and below. I have been the elected president for just over a year now. I took over for Alan Mitchell. For those of you who don't know, we lost Alan a week ago to COVID. He was an absolute rock for us and really paved the way for me to be able to stand here tonight. So that being what it is, we're going to jump right into it. So some of the things that we want to talk about is we want to talk about what are we going to do to keep and retain the people that we have and be able to attract others to come and be Columbia police officers. Some of the things that we look at with attracting and retaining is we're looking for the best and the brightest, right? And we're looking for people that can be empowered to be Columbia police officers and to uphold Chief Jones' vision of Columbia policing. That's what we do. I've said from day one, and even before day one of being elected the CPOA president, is we support Chief Jones, we support his vision for community policing and Columbia policing. And we're gonna do that until they vote me out or I get fired. Hopefully it's neither of those, at least anytime soon. So that's what that's what our goals are. And I really believe those are the goals that the city has. I know it's the goals that we have, and I believe it's the goals that the Columbia Police Department has. So we have three main goals, and part of our mission is, and I'll take a step back before I jump into this. I have to give a lot of credit to Carlin and to the bargaining team last year. We took a huge step in fixing the pay issues and the compression issues that we've had for years. We didn't fix it. My opinion is we didn't fix it. We know we didn't fix it, but we took a big step. It's very commendable that we were able to have those open and tough conversations and make huge strides to fixing those issues. So that's number one. We want to finish it, right? Let's fix the problem. Let's get a step plan. Let's get a pay plan in place so that when we go out and we recruit and we try to retain the best and brightest that's out there to be Columbia police officers, they know what they're going to be making year two. They know what they're going to be making year 5, year 10, year 15, year 20. Whenever they hit their pension date, they've got an attainable goal that they know they're going to be in. We don't have that right now. We really don't. Nothing recurs as far as our pay plan goes and the way that it's structured. Number two, let's not make the same mistake. It goes with number one. Let's fix it. Let's fix it right. Let's fix it finally. Okay? Pay compression is absolutely decimated our pay structure for our sergeants and our officers that we represent. Up until we negotiated last year's contract, for an example, we had a roughly 19-year detective that was making about 25 cents an hour more than a 6-year patrol officer. And in fact, that 6-year patrol officer, if he worked a midnight shift with shift differential, made more than a 19-year detective, right? This last contract, We We took a big step to fixing that. It's not fixed, but we took a leap, right? Number three, we have to look at an across-the-board increase. We have to look at the inflation, the way that that we're moving right now. I know there was some concern with some folks last year when we had our contract, and it was voiced heavily from city staff about, you know, the manner in which we were doing it. We had some folks that didn't get much of a raise at all. We had some folks that got substantial raises. And part of the reason is it was a step, and we understood and we valued taking that step to fix our compression, to get our people separated in a pay scale so that we didn't have 19-year detectives making potentially less than 6-year road officers, right? What are we going to do to stop the hemorrhaging and loss of our people before October? And I'm going to touch on this a little more here in just a second. We have to look at what's best for our people. We have to look at what other communities in Boone County and around Boone County are doing to recruit and what they're doing to retain their people. And we have to, absolutely have to, make a step in the right direction to do the same. And not only do the same, go above and beyond. If we want the best and brightest, right, we can't be subpar at any level. That can be done, in my opinion, either through the existing budget or through the ARP funds. And like I said, we'll move to that here in just a second. I think most of you are familiar with this chart. This is the most recent sales tax report receipt that we pulled off of online. The only reason I have this up here is people like to see numbers, so I also like to see numbers. I really, really like this number right here. That's our 2021. That's showing our increase in sales tax coming in. Even more so, we take a look at it right here. We can fund fixing our pay scale with this. We know that we have more revenue coming in. And this is with COVID, right? We planned accordingly for COVID. We said, well, COVID, you know, 2 years ago, we said, well, COVID's gonna decimate our sales tax coming in. It didn't. It increased it substantially. And now we're another year past, and we're increasing in the sales tax revenue. And this may not be something I can say, but I'm gonna say it anyways. In April, we're gonna have on the ballot talking about internet sales tax, right? So there's a potential for substantially more revenue coming in that we can fix our first responders, we can fix the pay scale, we can do right by our people, and we can recruit and we can retain being the key word, the people that we already have employed, okay? So I found this online. So the city of Springfield, a couple months ago, they came out and they said, we're gonna use roughly 55% of the ARP dollars that we have to come in and you know, say thank you to the frontline workers we have that have been working through the pandemic. Springfield is, and I don't know the status of where they are, but they were committing a 3-year basically retention bonus, if you will, of $6,000, right? While that's great and wonderful, we can do better, right? We know that we have the availability to use the ARP dollars tonight. It's not something that we have to wait until October of this year when we have our negotiations and negotiate a benefit and negotiate a contract with the city. We can do that tonight. The folks at this circle table can do that tonight, right? That is something that we absolutely have to do. We have to find a reason to keep the people that 3 years, 5 years, 15, 20 years ago, we saw value in them. We saw enough value in them to hire them. And we saw value in retaining them and training them and keeping them, right? Only for COVID and the economy and everything else to drive them out the door. So with that, I'm gonna finish with this. So we have, so far this year, we have five Columbia police officers that have tendered resignations. One is a retirement after 20 years of faithful service. The other four left, right? I've had an opportunity to speak with three of those four. One, I didn't get a chance to speak with. He was roughly a four-year patrol cop. He was a field training officer. He's a former member of the community outreach unit. He had some military things go on, and his employment was better suited outside of the Columbia Police Department. Well wishes to him. Two of the others were 8-year cops. One was a detective, specifically a detective that dealt in violent crime, right? He was a street crimes detective. He was a SWAT operator for a number of years. He was a field training officer. For 8 years, we poured thousands of dollars, right, into training and retaining and keeping and letting this person train all of our young folks that were coming up. We lost him to a local business. Number one reason we lost him, because he was going to make a heck of a lot more money. Number two was his pension, right? When I had a conversation with him, we talked about what could I do to get you to stay? And he said, man, he goes, it's money. He's like, you know, if you can guarantee me, I'll stay. But, you know, for the benefit of his family, for what he has to do to put food on the table, he had to walk away. Didn't have to move, didn't have to go anywhere. In fact, he'll be working remotely for a large portion of his job functions. The other one, she was an 8-year police officer. She was an original member of our community outreach unit. She was a crisis negotiator. Went to a local business. Same thing. It was more money. It was better opportunity. She could see her kids more. The 12-hour schedules, when we went from our 10 to our 12 a number of months ago, that pushed a lot of people out. We had to do it. I understand. I don't like it. I've told Chief Jones I didn't like it. But if we don't have enough people to, you know, to keep our citizens safe, we have to make those tough choices. And as much as I didn't like it, Chief Jones had to do that. And so that officer, that 8-year officer, went to work for a business here in town, making substantially more money, better opportunities for her family, the opportunity to work remotely. Those are the five this year. We're 18 days into the first year. Last year we lost 16 folks, right? Six of those retired after faithful service to the city. Some of those well through the drop program, which is an unbelievable incentive to help keep our people, right? But the other 10, five of those either had prior experience or had multiple years of service. One was an 8-year detective. He was also a violent crimes detective. Went to go work for a security company in an adjoining county. He didn't move. He still has his little plot of ground. He went to work for a private security company because he was going to make substantially more. He was going to have better hours and time with his family, right? Of the others, we lost one of our traffic officers, actually one of the officers I got hired with when I hired on. He went to work for another agency outside of Missouri making substantially more in a community that's smaller than what we are. Some of the others, they had years of experience from other agencies that we did the recruitment, right? We saw value in people from other agencies and, you know, we took them, right? We offered, you know, hey, this is what we can offer you. We weren't able to retain them. And I haven't had a chance to talk to all those folks. What I'm saying is, you know, this is, we're on a downhill slide and it's only getting worse. We need the ability to stop the bleeding. We have to stop the bleeding. We have to stop losing people. If we've already lost five in the first 18 days of the month, how many are we gonna lose this year, right? We have agencies within Boone County that recently got pay increases. They're gonna be making roughly 8% more starting right now, right? The soonest that we can even affect the change is gonna be October of this year. There's agencies outside of here, within 30 miles of here, that I think their council is going to bring a vote to offer a $10,000 lateral incentive. If you're post-certified, if you've got your certificate through the state, come work for us, we're going to give you 10 grand, right? We have the ability tonight to slow, if not stop, the attrition. We can do it tonight. We can do it through the budget. We can do it through ARP. When we've talked before, and I know I've sent you guys all letters about ARP, we asked for $12,000, $500 a month for 2 years. That is, gives us the ability to retain the folks that we currently have. Because after it's all said and done, if we lose them to businesses here in town, or we lose them to other agencies, who do we replace them with? Right? And I'm not going to talk about the elements of hiring and everything else. I can tell you we have a lot of openings, and I don't think we have near the applications coming in to fill those openings. So my question and thought that I want to leave with you is, what's the value of your police department? What's the value of people that we have invested thousands of dollars and we've built relationships with, and they have built relationships with our community members? Are we willing to let them slip out the door and be gone? Where's our return on the investment? So I'm happy to answer any questions. My email address is wrong on there because it was late and I had fat fingers. I can give you my correct email address if you guys are interested in that.
President Nichols, I assume you're referring to Jeff City, who's offering the $10,000 lateral bonus for any officer to transfer to Jeff City.
I am.
And Boone County Sheriff's Department, what's their starting?
They move just over $50,000 a year.
Your ask, tell me again what your ask was on the ARPA funds, as far as what would be a meaningful, not gesture, but what would be a meaningful amount?
The same thing that we've asked for from day one, $12,000. A 2-year retention bonus of $500 a month.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Pitzer?
A couple questions. One of the folks you were talking about who left this year, you mentioned pension was a reason that he left.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
While we have a okay pension system, there were opportunities with him specifically to make more money immediately and be able to do different investments for his family that in the long term, whether he stayed or whether he went, he was going to be money ahead in the years.
Okay, so he was comfortable making enough to, he was comfortable giving
was
up
comfortable
the opportunity to receive, stay for the pension. And then what's the next step that you mentioned in terms of the step plan? Could you just describe that a little bit?
So the next step in the step plan is actually getting a fixed step plan and making it recurring, so that every year the council, city staff can budget accordingly for what we're going to project and what we're going to spend in payroll. The way it sits right now, and you know, just using kind of broad theories here, if we, you know, if the city council said, hey, there's no money for us, our pay plan would stay the way it is. Yeah, I'm bringing two. There would be no increases. People would stay at the same level of service pay that they have right now. So what we want to do is we want to implement an actual step plan, a step plan that will be recurring year after year, and it would be an annual step from year one through year 20. That way at year 20, if we were to stay on the current 25-year pension plan, for 5 years, that top paid officer, that's where they would stay. It would help provide an incentive to either promote, or if we can, you know, work at some element of incentive pay for specialty units and things like that, give them an incentive to make more money.
But in terms of the compression issues that you guys dealt with this last year, the compression side of it, you feel good with where you are? Or is this last step have anything to do with the compression as well?
Yeah, so this last step, we were able to move people apart, but there's nothing recurring after the fact, recurring year after year. So that, you know, if the way we broke it down was in 5-year increments. Well, we did the midpoint moves, 3, 4, 5-year midpoint moves, 10-year, 15, and 20-year. If you had 15 years of service, when we negotiated that, you moved to what we perceived to be the 15-year rate. If we move forward, that would be a 16-year officer, right? What we want to do is we want to break it down evenly into years. Okay. So that if you're a 16-year cop, you're going to get paid at a 16-year rate. That way, we're giving people a step every year.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Corvette?
Do you know how to pull yours up?
Yep.
All right. There you go.
All right. For those who don't know me, I'm Zach Vette. I'm the president of Columbia Professional Firefighters. So we're in a unique situation, a little bit different from Mr. Nichols. It's a full contract year for us. Our agreement ends at the end of September with the fiscal year. So we have an entire contract to go through. We have some unique new proposals this year that I think will benefit us and the city as well. And so we'll get right into it. Some of our priorities, as is always the case, compensation is going to be at the top of that list, and staffing is going to be at the top of that list. Then this year, the Missouri legislature passed the Missouri Cancer Trust. This is a new program to get benefits to members who are diagnosed with cancer right away, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. One of our members brought up the new idea for the retirement notification incentive, and we'll talk more about that. Then residency requirement, this is more around retaining or recruiting and retaining new firefighters. We're going to work on our physical fitness and wellness programs, and then we have a number of Chapter 19 and internal department policies that we're going to work on. So last year, in 2021, we did move to a step plan. This is the current step plan as it's in effect right now. So our ask this contract, I'm going to propose a 3-year agreement with the city. And our ask is going to be that every year we move our members down the plan to continue increasing their pay. Every other year we adjust for inflation with an across the board adjustment. And then we'll continue that for 3 years. We have the ability to budget for all of this right now, so you'll know exactly what that number is going to be today, tomorrow, and next year. So, and this last line, you know, every year we've done compensation from the beginning of the collective bargaining process. We've come back to council every year and had to do this. If we can commit to this 3-year term, it will reduce staff's workload, my workload, everybody will be able to move on from that. And it takes a lot of time and effort. DeCarlin will be the first to tell you, for our members and his staff to sit down and do these things. So if we can come to a long-term agreement, 3 years, 5 years, then we'll reduce the workload on the city as well as us. As Matt talked about, we got a proposal for premium pay from the ARPA funds. It's going to be the same that we've talked about from the beginning, $12,000. We don't care if it's over 2 years or 1 year, but we're going to stay committed to what we've already asked for with council. You guys have heard from me before. Staffing, obviously a big thing. A few years back, we committed to building 2 new fire stations. We finally got one of them moving down the line. There was a pretty poorly planned thought to move current staffing to staff that station. I don't think it was a great plan. I was vocal about that at the time, but we've got to address this. When we're talking about staffing, and it's been highlighted by COVID, over the last 2 years, our members have worked over 40,000 hours of overtime to continue the fire department operations, to keep our trucks open, to make sure that we're responding to calls. We were at the first COVID patient that was in the state of Missouri, and we worked their cardiac arrest when they passed away too. Our members have stepped up, and so it's time for us to address this. We cannot have 3-person staffing. We have to move towards a minimum of 4-person staffing on our trucks. And then we also have to hire new employees to take care of these new stations. We can't spread our companies out any thinner than they already are. February 2020 to February 21, we worked 27,000 hours of overtime. That's 1,154 shifts. Our guys stepped up and took that overtime as members were out for COVID, for quarantine, for all of those things. In the last numbers that I saw from February 21 through the end of December, it was another 15,000 hours on top of that. So we're beating the heck out of our employees. We can't continue to do that. They'll stand up, they'll do their job, but it's time to give them a little bit of relief. So we're gonna have a proposal to commit to 4-person staffing. We can do that with 16 new employees and assign our current staff around, and then 12 new employees for each new fire station that we open. So 28 initially right now is what we need. Another 12 when Station 10, before Station 10 comes on the east side of town, which we're in that process. But we got to develop a plan. What's this look like long term? We've never, you know, we've kicked this can down the road. You've heard this presentation for 4 years now, 5 years that I've been standing up here, and we haven't committed to a plan to address this. It's just, yep, do the best we can. So Chief's going to have some budget proposals on that. We're going to have some contract proposals on that, and we've got to commit to a plan to get to four-person staffing. Our ask is going to be that during that three-year time frame of the contract, that we, whatever steps are taken, we hire all of those people within that time frame. Doesn't have to be today, but before the end of that agreement, we get those people in here. And this kind of goes into it a little bit more. Three-person jobs are understaffed. I can go on for 2 hours about why three and four-person staffing matters. One of the big things, overtime costs. Like I said, we've worked a lot of overtime. Our guys have been beat up with overtime. They're tired of it. As a matter of fact, at this point, money doesn't even matter. They just want to get away from work sometimes. Mandatory staffing, in order to keep our trucks open, we may have to force them to stay at work. And that's not an ideal situation for anybody. When we go to four-person staffing, we have the ability to potentially reduce our total number of apparatus going to certain calls. So if there's four people there, every three trucks that we get an additional company instead of the three. So we can leave a company in service maybe out in the outskirts of town and not have to drag them into that scene. They'll be available for response in their area. And like I said, that's 16 new personnel. 12 for a new station. We have nobody currently planned for these new stations. And then long term, we have to continue to look down the path of how we're going to address retirement and turnover to maintain that four-person staffing and continue to build on where we're going. The Missouri Cancer Trust, like I said, Senate Bill 45 was signed into law earlier this year by Governor Parsons. It creates a voluntary firefighter cancer benefits pool. This will give a payment to a member who applies and is approved for after a cancer diagnosis. I put this down here because there's still more details. This is still coming together. It looks like the premiums are going to be anywhere between $50 and $300 per person per year. I'll have the financial piece of this at the end, but I believe it's about $40,000 for our entire department to be a part of this each year. And they'll get a benefit payment as soon as they're approved with this right away, so that the stress and the headache of the cancer diagnosis is reduced somewhat by this payout as they start working through work comp and the potential for, you know, work-related injuries and stuff like that. That takes a long time. Kathy's shaking her head. I mean, she hates me for talking about this.
Absolutely.
So the big thing about this and the benefit to the city is that that payment can be reduced from a potential settlement at some point. So if they get a $25,000 payment, that amount would be subtracted from a potential work comp settlement later on.
Zach, remind me, is there presumptive eligibility on the cancer?
There is nothing presumptive currently in the state. Okay. This would be the only thing that's remotely close to it is what we have right here. So it is a long, tedious, terrible process for a firefighter to get cancer in the state of Missouri.
But this would start the payments regardless of the cause.
Yep, this starts
the cause was determined, it would either reimburse, the city would either kick in,
yep,
or private insurance or whatever.
Yep, however that all settles down.
Yep.
So a huge benefit for our guys, small investment of $40,000 a year. It takes three political subdivisions to actually get the fund set up and running. So we could be right on the front edge of this, and there is a potential to have a seat on the board that would run this this pool.
If any other.
Again, this is very new. Everybody's trying to work this through their municipalities right now. So a commitment is simple right now, and then, you know, as the pool is established and we get this going, we can all know more about it then. Again, it's very early in an infancy. They just got there. I talked to Corey Hogan, our legislative director. They just got their constitution bylaws kind of set up for that. They've got all the people arranged now so they can finally get this thing moving. So it's going to take time.
Thanks.
All right, so this is an innovative proposal that one of our members brought to me. I thought it was a good idea. We talk about staffing, and I probably should have put this right behind the staffing slide, but One of the big frustrations or shortfalls for the fire department specifically, a little bit for the police department, is when a member retires, we can't fill that vacancy until they're gone. It takes 17 weeks to put them, up to 17 weeks to put them through an academy. We've come up with a new shortened version of that if they have some credentials already. But the maximum is 17 weeks. Those academies only happen so often, so we may lose time. It may be months before we actually fill that vacancy. So in order to try to shorten that time frame or fix this problem, one of our members brought this to me and said, hey, if we give a year notice retirement, we stick to that date, can we get a payout of our sick leave, hour for hour, and for a portion of, not all, but a portion of our sick leave. I've got this proposal written. There would be a maximum amount that they'd be allowed to, and then it would be half of that maximum amount. And if they give 6 months, they get a quarter of. This would give them an incentive to give us notice, and then we can start the process of hiring and training a new employee so that there's not a lapse in staffing potentially. Right now we have 8 vacancies. We're going to have them filled through the spring. We're going to have more vacancies through retirements over this coming year. And so that could be months long that vacancy's open as we get that person trained. So this program will be a way for us to kind of link or shorten that and give us the ability to hire somebody new. And
how is sick leave treated now? Unused sick leave.
We don't get any payout for it.
Right. Did we used to? Did we change it?
A portion of 2% of the total went to their retirement, but that went away with a new pension. So there's no payout for a new pension employee. So this is just a creative way to try to get that notification up front, and then we can fill in those positions later on. We talked a little bit about the residency requirement. This came with our new shift schedule. City Manager Glassbach was pretty adamant about this. I'm fine with it, but at the same time, I think we are losing the ability to attract and recruit new employees. It's 35 miles, I believe, is what it is now, or something along those lines. And so people are going to have to move in here. And I agree, you know, we want our people to live here, and we want them to spend their tax money here. But if we got good people that are living in the suburbs of St. Louis or Kansas City that want to come to work here, let's give them an opportunity to be here. And so we're just going to ask that we get rid of our residency requirement. Our last test had approximately 100 applicants. We had 14 eligible out of that 100 on our hiring list. Again, we're probably going to hire all of them this spring. And then we'll have to do another testing process. So if we get rid of this, it'll hopefully potentially give us the ability to reach out a little bit further and get our people here. We do have current employees that were employed before the requirement went into effect that live in St. Louis, that live in Kansas City, that live outside that. And those guys are good employees. They come to work, they do their job, they serve the city really well. So there's no reason that we can't have those people come in. Physical fitness and wellness. We currently have a wellness program. We want to continue to build that. The IFF has an initiative. We have a training program. We have the peer fitness trainer, which we train our people to train other people to keep up with their physical wellness. We have peer support programs that we train our people to be peer support counselors in critical incidents. So some of this is going to include part of that, but our members deserve the city's commitment to their physical wellness. If we're going to take the commitment, the city can give us a commitment as well. So we're going to continue to build on our annual health assessments. We have some new proposals for that. The fire chief, I believe, is committing to buying new equipment for the new stations. The union used to provide all of that. So, you know, I think the city can take that on in the future, and I believe that's the right way to handle that. And then, you know, we have discounted memberships to the ARC. I don't understand why our employees can't get free memberships to the ARC. We'll pay for it and discount one for our family. But a lot of our guys pay for memberships away from there. So they should have access to the swimming pool, the basketball courts, the weight equipment, the tracks, all of those things. And the city can make that simple commitment to our enhancing our members' wellness. We know that members that are in better shape and physically and mentally fit have better outcomes with cancer diagnosis, longer lives, and they'll be able to enjoy their retirement at some point after they give everything to the city for 20 or 25 years.
And Zach, when you mentioned, you said physical and mental, does this include mental health?
There is a portion of that. Chief and I are working on with mental health. We need to expand that program. We have the police and fire department have a specific program that, and we've got some stuff working on with the mental health center. So.
Councilmember, thank you for bringing that up. One, from talking to some of your members, and it's, I think we have a bucket of benefits from that counselor. She's a former EMT, she's EMT.
Yep, yep.
Trauma-informed counselor.
Yeah, we do.
Do you know if we max that out? I mean, the response I've heard from guys that have talked to her is good. They want more of it.
Yeah, we, I don't know that we max it out yet. It's only been in place for about a year, year and a half maybe. But I know that our guys are using it. I send guys there frequently and they get good results from it. We need to expand that. Some of this can be taken care of in-house. We've kind of got a tiered program in the way of, we can use EAP for certain things. We can use our internal peer support counselors for certain things, and the police department has their own as well that we can use back and forth. If our guys don't want to talk to their own people, they can use the police departments and vice versa. And then we have her, that program, for really critical incident stuff, you know, the nasty stuff that the firemen and police officers see out in the world. And she does an excellent job. She's only one person. Right. And so I think we can help her expand her availability through it's Lawrence Oliver and Associates that does it, and I think they could offer more resources if we give them the ability to do that. So.
We have not maxed it out. So we've only had it 1 year. We did not max out the money that we have set aside for that.
Right.
So.
And this has become a huge issue recently. Obviously highlighted in Boone County alone, we had seven tragic deaths. On the roadways, we had a chief from our neighboring county who was killed on the highway. These things have been highlighted recently, and it just serves to show how much this is necessary in the fire service in today's world. So, did you have a question?
No.
Okay.
So that text talks about that. And then these proposals, there's just so much of this to go through. The collective bargaining process, again, I think we can make that a little bit better. Carlin has offered, you know, that he has some ideas on that to me at different times to get this thing moving faster. Pay and compensation will be addressed by that. And of course, we have to update Chapter 19. Standby pay is one. Currently, our guys get $15 a day to be on standby or on call, so to speak. It hasn't been adjusted in a number of years. Last year we talked about it, the city agreed last year that this would be an issue we would really take a very hard look at this year, something we need to deal with. Holidays comes up every year. Three of our current holidays are paid 11.25 hours, even though we work 24 for those shifts. There was some formula created, Kathy knows more about it, the formula that was created that equates that to 8-hour employees, but we don't work 8-hour shifts, we work 24-hour shifts, so we're going to continue to work on that. Discipline, grievance, appeals, and complaints. These tie in a little bit with the Chapter 1925, the bargaining process. And we just need to wrap up some issues there. And then in the fire department, the chief and I worked really, really, really well together. I will give him a lot of credit for his effort with me to address issues that are brought to us by our members. And so we have a few of these policies that are internal department policies that we're going to work together to address. So we've already had some sort of discussions on what those look like. So with that, the financial part of it. Like I said, I'm going to propose this as a 3-year contract. Compensation, roughly $540,000 for us to make those adjustments that we talked about, moving members down the line. And making the across-the-board adjustment in that 3-year period. Roughly about $130,000, $140,000 per year just to move them. And that'll actually somewhat go down. It'll kind of sway back and forth as older members retire, who higher in the pay scale. As they retire and put a new member in, that'll go down just a little bit. So that's going to roughly be around the $130,000 mark. And then, of course, there's across-the-board adjustments have a little bit more of an effect on that. Staffing. With what you gave you, with what we gave you, roughly $100,000 per person, benefits and everything per year. That's an easy figure for us to use. So 28 plus 12 more at the for Station 10 will put you right around the $4 million mark. Like I said, the Cancer Trust is roughly $40,000 a year. It's a small commitment, and that's for getting our guys involved in that. And then the retirement incentive program. So I tried to do this out. It's very difficult to do. Everybody's different where they're at. Pay scales, all of those things, so their payouts would be different. But
you can figure roughly $20,000 per member who participates in the program. And what we talk about is like their salary, the salaries of having two employees at the same time offset the cost of the overtime. So if we had to pay somebody, if a captain's retiring and we have to pay a captain overtime for that, whatever that period of time is that there's not an employee there or we're training somebody, if we pay two employees to fill that gap, the offset is the overtime cost. So really it's just gonna be that $20,000 cost. It's not really gonna affect your payroll in terms of that. So with that, I think that's pretty much all I've got. Like I said, it's a full contract year. There's a lot of work to be done. Everybody knows that. My team has been killing it so far. I just think I wrapped up my proposals yesterday, so we'll have those over pretty quick. And then I really look forward to, and I always say this, just if we work together, we'll both come to an agreement that we can work on if we work with each other rather than I want it my way or the highway type of attitude. So always leave this up there. Both have plans, just a treat. Any questions, Zach?
Any questions, Councilmember Weiss?
Do you have any idea what the 40,000 hours of overtime, what that cost was?
I know because it's all different on the rank. We pay, you know, if we need an engineer to fill a vacancy, we will pay an engineer, but if we have a captain, we got to pay them, so it's different.
Yeah.
It varies.
Just trying to gauge how that compares to the $4 million in staffing needs.
Significantly less. I'll be the first one to tell you that
sure.
It's cheaper to pay overtime
yeah.
than to hire all the people that are necessary, but you can only do that to your people for so long
right.
before you break
right.
the back. And our people are, we're broken. At this place, with COVID, people are tired. It's over. I think Chief would agree with me that at this point, our people don't even care that they get overtime pay. They don't even care that the money's there. They just want to go home.
They want to break
this. So.
How often do you have classes for new firefighters?
Yeah,
and
we
how,
do based on need.
How,
yeah.
Well, but you have a hard, you have a tremendous need, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean,
are
so we're going to have,
these?
We're going to probably have three academies this next year. 46 of the 52 weeks, I believe, are scheduled to have academies next year.
And how
so.
Many? How many people go through each? In each academy?
It depends on where the vacancies are. We can't put somebody in there that we don't have a vacancy for. So until somebody's gone, we can't replace that. If we have nine people at that point when that starts, we're gonna put nine through there. If we have four, we put four through. So if we have that notification, we can put a bunch more through there.
But you've got vacancies though.
We do have eight
you
right
have,
now.
You have vacancies though also, correct?
Right now we have eight.
Right.
And we're gonna start an academy in February and we're starting an academy in April, I believe. We'll have both of those, and that'll fill those eight vacancies.
So four at each time?
Mm-hmm. The four at the very beginning of the year are the four new positions that were in the budget last
right.
year. The eight after that are those four that we have in February already have some credentials. They'll go through an eight-week program rather than 17-week. In April, we'll start a 17-week program for people who have no credentials, no fire service experience, or haven't been certified.
Okay.
And then right behind that, we'll start another academy based on retirements during that period of time.
When I hear people say they're on the list and they've made the roster, are those candidates that have been pre-screened?
Yeah. So we
have not gone through the academy
yeah,
or fire
so,
training?
Yeah. So usually once a year, we'll do a test process. We'll have a list. It may be, like I said, 100 people will test. The list is 14 people long. They're on the list until we put an academy on, and then we'll put them through the training. So when they're on the list, that's that you're literally
they're
on the
just
list
waiting to be called up
yeah.
to be sent to the academy. And do we pay them to go to the academy?
Yeah, they're paid employees. They're on a 40-hour schedule for that time.
Yeah.
So those four slots that we added this year,
yeah.
So you're saying you're asking for 28 on top of that? Or is that, that doesn't include the four?
That includes the four. It does not include the four that you gave us this year.
Right.
The 16,
the 16.
Four-person staffing
yeah.
plus 12 for the new station
mm-hmm.
does not include that four.
So the four were just to add to
I mean, we're
to get us
taking what we can get. When you give
to
us
cover
four,
the
take,
existing.
If you give us 20, we're going to take them. We
right.
got it. But we got to commit to a plan. I mean, that's the biggest thing is where are we headed with this? We can add four people a year. We add a new station. And we're still behind, you know what I mean? This is, it's gotta be, we gotta have a plan to get to where we're going.
Any questions? All right, thank you.
You're welcome, thank you.
Are we not hearing from laborers?
I don't believe so.
Okay, are they happy? Or are they just come to the podium and give
us a Actually, I think we're at a pretty good spot.
All right, they didn't want to take the opportunity.
It was offered. I did not send a follow-up email.
They can do it at the beginning or the end, right?
Right.
All right. Yes, Mr. Scott.
I've got a question. It kind of addresses both of these issues in the presentation that we just heard. I mean, obviously, you're advocates for a particular point of view, and I appreciate that point of view. It's critical to the city's functioning. We have lots of requests for lots of funding, for lots of employment, if you will. And we recently lost an HR position. Mm-hmm. And I assume, obviously, you're working on that. As a new city manager, you're working on that. How does that HR employment chief interact with the negotiations that we've been talking about accommodating some of these requests and dealing with this in the context not only of ARPA, but of the city budget generally?
So the HR director is part of the negotiation team. Before I came on board, I believe the HR director led the negotiation team, and the thought was that it would probably be better suited if the HR director was more of a support than a lead for the negotiations.
Say that one more time.
So before I came on board, yeah. When Margaret was the director,
right.
She led the negotiation team.
Right.
I'm not sure for how long, but I know the thought was that it should be someone from the city manager's department to lead the negotiations, and the HR director would serve as support. It's 'cause there's certain parts of the negotiation.
That was not the leadership position, that was a support position.
Well, it's not necessarily the leadership position, it's just certain things that HR should be more of an advocate for, and it's hard to be an advocate if you're the chief negotiator.
Right.
So it became the deputy city manager's role to lead the negotiations.
Correct.
When you came on?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And I'm not sure what was before I came on board. I'm not sure when Margaret became the lead negotiator, but I know for several years she was.
Yeah, she was.
And your ideas are to essentially make that person a part of the team, whoever this is that we eventually hire, or you hire, make this person a part of the team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's your all's pleasure? Anything you want to talk about in public? Would you like to? Do you need direction from closed session as to our negotiating posture?
I guess that's the question for the council. If there's certain topics you want to discuss in closed session, we are available to do that.
I would like to do that.
Okay. Then I would make a motion that the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri immediately go into a closed meeting here in Conference Room 1A1B of City Hall to discuss the purpose of concluding any discussions of work product on behalf of the public and the body or its representatives and negotiators and employee agreement pursuant to Section 2, Subsection 9 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri. Is my motion. Dr. Peters, would you like to second that?
I would love to second that.
Seconded by Dr. Peters.
All right.
Ms. Fowler?
Yes.
Ms. Wader?
Yes.
Mr. Scala?
Yes.
Mr. Thomas?
Yes.
Mr. Hitzer?
Yes.